If you'd asked me 12 hours ago if I'd be standing before you, my answer would be emphatically, probably not. Lights up, please. Yesterday, through our work day, and again, thank you for all those that were able to participate yesterday, and those of you that weren't able to come and help, I hope you feel tremendous guilt. Just teasing. We got a lot of great projects done, and we actually have two storage sheds that we can walk into without contacting the insurance company first. And they're nicely organized. And it was funny, because as we started to get into the storage sheds and I opened them up for the guys that were here to help, they looked in and they go, "Psh, this ain't bad. You should see my storage shed." And I was like, okay. You know, I'm glad I'm not your insurance man. I would probably be calling that one in. But our storage sheds are, you know, we threw out a lot of junk, and we filled up Paul's van with all sorts of things to take to the dump, which he graciously did for us, and basically just reorganized a lot of things. And inside the church as well, got a lot of things organized and cleaned, and we went through the children's rooms, and or I said we, Kim, went through the children's rooms with the children. It was really cool because in the fun week, the last day was all about giving back. And that was her theme. And so the children just really grabbed onto that. And yesterday they hung around, I think because Kim told them, their parents, that they wouldn't pick them up till noon. But the kids just joined right in with her. And it was funny passing by the nursery. And she was going, "Would this freak out your little brother or sister? Or is this a keeper? You know, is it?" She was going through the different toys that were in there, and they were all going, "No, get rid of that one. That's a scary monster." And, you know, anyway, it was just fun, and we had a great time. You know, capped it all off with really delicious pizza, you know, which is everybody's favorite health food, and just had a great time of bonding with each other, a great time of fellowship. Got a lot of good work done. And again, thank you for everybody that hung out and did that yesterday. But while I was here at the very end of it, the night before, I had only gotten like 3 hours of sleep because I had this nose thing going on, and it wouldn't allow me to just rest. And last time I looked at the clock, it was like 1:38, knowing that I was going to have to get up at 6 o'clock. And, you know, be up here to finish out with the breakfast and a devotion with the children for the fun week, and then going right into the work day. So by noon, I was cashed in. I mean, my chips were done. And I just, my wife finally, you know, she goes, "Will you finally go to urgent care?" And I said, "Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll go." And so she took me into urgent care and got some wonderful medications. I have an acute sinus infection, which I didn't think was very acute personally, but the doctor said it was a cute one, so, you know, had to take her word for it. But got to have just some great time of seeing God's hand work. And for me to be able to even stand here today, like I said, last night, 8:30, 9 o'clock, I mean, I was just about ready to dial in a substitute and have this filled by someone else. But I just kept believing that, you know, God was going to have his hand on me and bring the healing for me to be able to stand before you, understanding that tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock I'd fly out to Oklahoma City for the National Church of God Convention. And so this is really important that I'm asking for your prayers to help me through that. Those elevation changes, and that there will be no more earthquakes in Oklahoma City, as there has been. Although one of the things that I am looking forward to, the day that I land there on Monday, they're supposed to still have rain, which is something I wish we were getting here. Amen. All right, let's get into today's message. Oh, by the way. Another public service announcement. I just got done ordering 100 more of these. for us to hand out. And again, this isn't for marriages that are just on the rocks, or this isn't for people that are just getting ready to get married. This is for all marriages. It's just a marriage seminar to come in and work on your intimacy between the two of you, you know, to revitalize that and get that working. Okay. Enough public service announcement. Every athlete seeks it. Every team seeks it. Musicians desire to have it. Ballerinas want it. Rental car companies want it. Computer companies, cell phone companies, many manufacturers and sales of products competing for your dollars as well. All are striving for the coveted position of first place. Beyond all of those world entrapments, the battle wages for your soul. As Satan and Christ desire to have first place within your heart and your mind. All of these aforementioned people and all these aforementioned forces have the same determination to strive for that place of prominence, and only you have the power to allow them into your, the title of today's message, first place. What's first place in your heart and in your mind? I want you to think about that today as we go through this verse from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And again, this is part of a whole tribute to Christ that Paul is writing about in Colossians. Verses 15 to 20, they call it a poem by Paul, or a psalm. And it's all about the supremacy of Christ. And so today, in verse 18, we read what? Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Now, many times when we read that scripture and say, Christ is the head of the body, the church, we automatically default to a building and full of people like this. But understand, the church that Paul is talking about is your own heart, the own altar of your heart. And Christ is to be the head of your own heart, your body. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. He's given us that promise that we too will not suffer death, but will always have life. That the minute that we take our last breath of this earth, we take our first breath of heaven. It's the promise given to all who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he promised it, then it's true. Amen? So there's nothing to fear in death, although there is definitely a lot of suffering that goes with it, right? Most of the time. Most of the time. I'm jealous. I'm envious about hearing stories of people who just quietly go in their sleep. And that's the way my grandfather went. He went in his sleep. He is so peaceful, not yelling and screaming like the rest of the people in his car. I'm sorry, these medications have dried me out, so I got to do this. Give you time to think about that joke. Anyway, Christ is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, for the firstborn from among the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. You see, there's still a choosing there on our part, isn't there? Though Christ has done all these things and Christ is supreme, he is our creator, he's the one that holds all things together, there is still this power that you and I hold over Christ, and that is whether or not to accept him in all of his fullness, to give him that first place, to give him prominence in our life. We have the power to either accept him or to push him away. But please understand, even if you push him away, Christ will always keep being there, knocking at the door of your heart. Let me in. Please, let me in. I just want to love you. I've always loved you. I've loved you since the beginning of time. I've loved you. And I want to have that relationship with you that you just turn around and love me back as well. That's all Christ is really looking for from us, is our love, our heart, to put him first place. It was a prime reason why Jesus came to this earth was to establish his church. Not buildings, but to establish his church within our hearts. That was a prime reason why Jesus came to earth. He wants a righteous and holy body that is offered the gift to abide with him for eternity in his kingdom, so that the work of the church then becomes to turn around and make known to others the same offer that we have so generously accepted for ourselves. God's kingdom work must become first place in our hearts, in the body of Christ. Back in 1962, there was a bizarre film that was created. Who its director was and things like that escapes me. But the story was all about a woman whose body was destroyed in an accident, and her husband, who was a scientist, was only able to save her head. And he somehow kept her head alive while looking for the new body for his wife's head. He loved his wife so much, and of course, all the movie spoofers, you know, say, well, how did the head stay alive without breathing? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's totally scientific fluff. But there it was. It was something that we all know is not true. You know, I can lose a foot, I can lose a hand, I can lose an arm, I can lose a leg, and I can still live, but I can't lose my head and still live. Right? Everybody agree? So why do we have that saying?
Well, I lost my head over that. Yeah.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Huh? But here, the first point for you to fill in. The body serves the head and is powerless without it. If we know that we can cut off any appendages except for the head and still live, we know that we need the head. But the body serves the head, and it is powerless without it. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, "For in Christ we live and move and have our being." And Ephesians 5, 21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." You see, our job as a church, as a personal church, and also as a combined group of people that represent Mountain Valley Church of God, our sole job is to serve the Lord, to serve Christ. We've got to put him first in everything that we think about. And trust me, I know that there are a lot of things that vie for our time and our attention, right? And those things are not necessarily bad in themselves, but if they take away from you having time with the Lord, then you've got to really look at it and go, is this something that I really need in my life, or is this just a want or a desire? We have to put Christ first over everything. I mean, I love playing softball. But I don't put softball above my service to God. Shirley goes, "Oh yeah, try to find you on Monday and Thursday morning then. You're so out there playing softball." But you know what? While I'm out there playing softball, I am trying to be Christ-like in my way that I operate with the guys and talk with them. And I've had opportunities to find out from a couple of them that both their wives are going through some cancer stuff. And so while I'm out there and I find these things out in just casual conversation, I let them know, "Hey, can I have your wife's first name? I want to be praying for her and for her recovery." And so I'm having an impact on the senior softball players in that way. This past Thursday, I volunteer every once in a while to umpire a game. And so Thursday, as Don knows, Thursday I was umpiring this game and I made a very controversial call. And guys were all upset at me on the team that I called it against. And the other team, of course, was going, "Yeah, right on," you know. And so I had half the guys on the field that were for me and half the guys that were totally hating and spewing out terrible things about me. But I made the call, and it was just that. It was my judgment call, and I made it. And as I thought about it afterwards, I thought, well, you know, to the degree that I made that call, I probably should have backed it off just a little bit. And in trying to confer with other counselors, you know, other people around that knew the softball rules and things. I mean, we had one guy that was adamant that this was a new addendum that had been added to the softball rules, and I was acting right on, and I was like, "Okay, great." Woo, stumbled into that one, you know, and I could have gone along with that, but I didn't. And instead, when the team that was hating me at the time came back into their dugout, I simply walked over to their dugout and I said, and I addressed their whole team. I said, "Guys, I want you to know I made a bonehead call there. I shouldn't have been as drastic as I was. And will you please forgive me? I'm just a human. I'm not getting paid for umpiring, you know, and I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And hopefully it doesn't wreck the outcome of this game." And so monitoring to them or modeling to them the fact that, hey, we can make mistakes in life. It's not mistakes that matter. It's how we handle our mistakes. And how do we move forward when we do make a mistake? Do we own up to it? Or do we try to make excuses about, "Well, but this was going on," or "this was in my life," or "this was..." No, own up to your mistakes. Be honest before others because they're constantly watching you. And so as a pastor, I was trying to model to these guys what owning up to your mistakes is about and taking that. So hopefully they're coming away with that. I hear they're still spitting out my name, but it's okay. I'm still living. I'm still living, and I'm still going to. Christ has done the work of redemption, the cleansing of sins. And when he did that, and when we accept that Christ has been our sacrifice for every sin, every error that I could ever commit in my life, then we have got this gift that's given to us. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that comes into us and lives with us. It abides in us. And it's our teacher. It's our counselor. It's the one that shows us when we're in the right and when we're in the wrong. And we're not to quench that Spirit. Instead, we're to listen to it. That Holy Spirit is much like the maid of honor in a wedding. You see, because we are to be the bride of Christ, right? Many of you have heard this in Scripture, that the church is the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ, that when Christ returns, he's going to raise up a bride unto himself. We're that bride. And the Holy Spirit is the bridesmaid. that gets us ready for that wedding event. Isn't that awesome? God gave that to me this week, and I was just, woohoo! Because what's the whole purpose of a bridesmaid? Make the bride look good, right? You know, and to help her out, and, you know, because we know that women get all, what's it called? What's that show? Bride Mania or something like that? Bridezilla. Bridezilla. You know, we know how the emotions and things can get all out of whack when you're getting ready for a marriage. And the Holy Spirit is there to calm us down and to say, you know what, the work's already done. Just walk in that same love that you've had for your husband, our Lord Jesus Christ, until that day when you see him face to face. The Holy Spirit is our wonderful assistant to get us to that place. So, your next point to fill in. The body is to become the bride of Christ Jesus. The body is to become the bride of Christ Jesus. Romans 12:9 is a lovely reminder to us. It's what we all desire in our relationships. And it says what? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. How many of you detest a false love? Someone that will say to your face, oh, I love you, and then turn around and do the most awful things to you. That's not love. Love is when you are willing to serve that other person, to build them up, to make their life better. And as you make their life better, they make your life better. You see, but it all comes from you first giving to that other person. Amen? Love must be sincere. We've got to hate what's evil. We've got to cling to what is good. Many people are touting courage of the Pope, because I guess it was this week that he stepped out and said to the mafia, I no longer want you to be a part or hiding behind your Catholic religion. You're giving Catholic religion a bad name, because how can you live and support the things that you do and yet still call yourself clean before the Lord? He is a holy God. Now, the last pope that spoke like that against the mafia had his church bombed. So please be praying for this pope, because I believe that he is standing up as a man of God and trying to bring the Catholic Church into holiness. They teach a great religion. They teach a great honor of God. Now he's looking for more respect from the people in their everyday lives. You can't just come on a Sunday morning and practice the religion and then live like a hellion the rest of the week. It's an everyday commitment to God. You didn't just sign up for an hour or two on a Sunday morning and then the rest of the time I can live like I want to live. No. This is a love relationship that you have with God. I mean, how many of our relationships would last for very long if you only gave the person that you loved an hour or two a week? It probably wouldn't last very long, would it? You know, oh, I'll love you for an hour. You know, well, I need some more love right now. I'm sorry, it's not on my docket to love you right now. I'm just going to do what I want to do. You know, the body is to become the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 27 says what? For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You know, when I read this passage, thinking about our relationship of Christ being the head of the body, the husband in waiting, and we being the bride, the one getting ourselves ready for that time. And in fact, it's one of the most educational places that I've been when I do have done weddings in the past, and I'm able to counsel with the couple. And I as we're going through the practice for the wedding ceremony, I have a moment of teaching with them that I try to incorporate in. And it's all about, I ask them, do you understand why the husband is up here and the bride comes down? And they're all like, no. And I said, because it's a representation of Christ waiting. For his pure, holy, and spotless, unblemished bride to come down and come to him. See, in that same way, Christ is waiting for us. And the work is already done. He's the husband. He's waiting. He's wooing. He's loving you. And he's just waiting for that time when you consummate with him the vows that you make, the promises that, yes, I will be true to you all of my life. Jesus wants that type of relationship with you, that he is your everything and not just the part-time thing. The body's to become the bride of Christ Jesus, the husband, the head of the wife. He will take care. He's already laid himself down for you, his bride. And he's hoping that you will come to him and will allow yourself to become what? Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless to him. And since we know that the body is to serve the head, otherwise the body is powerless, and that the body is to become the bride of Christ, adorned without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, then our main objective in life must be to not only fall in love, but to stay in love with Christ. Amen? I mean, when you meet somebody that is just in love with Christ, don't you just admire it? Don't you just, you know, I think of little Faye Webster over here. She's so in love with Christ and in trying to serve him that she looks for opportunities to help others. Did you know that this powerful little woman helps other people read? Those that have not had an ability to read before, that she sits down with them and she mentors them in reading. And she doesn't use just any book. Instead, she uses the Bible. And she helps people with their reading abilities by reading the Bible. So she's not only helping them with reading abilities, but she's getting the Word of God into their lives. What a powerful testimony this little lady is. And she does that because she's massively in love with Christ. We too can be impact players for Christ. But he's got to be at the forefront of our lives for other people to be drawn to him. They don't want to be told what's wrong with them. That's what's wrong with so many churches. We come out with all these rules. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't be around there. Instead of saying, you know what? Yeah, you know, there are probably some things that you probably wouldn't take Christ with you to go and do those things. And as the Holy Spirit works on you, you know, you might need to, we're going to see a severing of those partnerships. Because as you walk with Christ, you see that some of the things that you're apart and that you're doing doesn't really matter for his kingdom. And instead, your life becomes all about how can I bring Christ to any and all situations. It's what we're to be about. Christ died for you so that you, his church, his body, would be sold out to him. Your last point. Jesus is the wooing, W-O-O-I-N-G, the wooing lover of his body, the bride. Jesus is the wooing lover of his body, the bride. Listen to this passage out of Ephesians chapter 5. No one ever hated his own body. Christ does not hate the body, but he feeds and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. We are members of his body. John 15, verses 9 to 11. This is Jesus speaking. And he says what? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I think one of the most devastating events in a person's life is when someone who has pledged their love until death do us part, when one of them says, I don't love you anymore, and I'm going to go do my own thing. There is absolutely nothing more devastating to the human heart than that. Can I hear an amen from those that have gone through it? That's why I'm thinking we really need to revitalize the divorce care recovery group again. We really need to ramp that back up and minister to the needs of this community. Christ loves his body. Is your body his body? He made it. He created you. He knows exactly what he wants to do in and through you. Will you submit yourself to his plans? He says, if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. You remember that first love? How giddy you were? Oh, I got to hold her. I got to hold her hand. Right? I mean, you're like silly. The feelings that, you know, that you got to, whoa, I got to hold her hand. Oh, that's awesome. Or, I kissed her. Oh, I kissed him. That thrill, that joy, and to know that, wow, here was somebody that hey, I've got feelings for you, and you've got feelings for me, and don't we all want to be validated in that way? It brings us value, doesn't it, to have someone else love us? Well, Christ has loved you with a love that goes beyond anything that you and I could ever give back to him. And yet, what he is desiring is for us to love him with everything. Obviously, not to the same measure as what he did, but to love him with every inch of who we are. Revelation 19:9 says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." We all know that the supper takes place after the ceremony. So are you going to be a part of the feast and the celebration? The invitation has been sent. Will you RSVP that you have fallen totally head over heels in love with Jesus? What are you waiting for? Give Him first place in your heart, because you know that you're first place in His. And when you do, and I know each and every one of you have this feeling, that day when you finally surrendered to the Lord and you were filled with such joy, such relief, that you knew that you no longer had to carry around these sins that invaded your mind and your body. When you gave Him and surrendered into His total care, when you allowed Him to be Lord of your life, there came this peace that, you know what, I don't have to figure it all out. I've got someone bigger and better and a lot smarter to run my life than me. Oh, praise God for that. See, Christ wants our total surrender. He wants you to just fall in love with Him and Him only. Don't let the things of this world come in the way, because Christ has paid a mighty big price that you might fall in love with Him. For God so loved the world, He gave. We have to do the same. We have to turn around and give ourselves to God. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that You, Jesus, are the wooing lover of the church, Your body, that You died for. And that relationship that You're desiring, Lord God, is not an on and off relationship, but rather it's a relationship that is constantly there, that we walk and we talk with You. We feel the wisdom that You alone can speak into our life. We feel the comfort in the times when life is such a chaos. Father, help me to fall in love with You again, over and over again, until I get it right. Help me to iron out those wrinkles that I have in my life, to get rid of those blemishes like pimples on my cheek. As they disappear, help me to get rid of those blemishes that I have in my life as well. Make me holy and blameless, for only the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, can do that. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said,